Tom, I guess we'll start talking what we talked about earlier on, this whole Bill C-21, the Carey Price posting. We've heard from people on both sides of the argument here. And I think the one thing, no matter what side you're on here, that we can't agree on is this bill is a mess.
Oh, here, Aaron Rand. What a wonderful way to summarize it. You know, I'm a big fan of Heidi Rathjen, and when I read over the weekend that she was saying, well, whatever else is happening here, the Liberals have done a very bad job of communicating it, I had to agree with her. You know, I started my career at the Justice Department in Quebec City drafting legislation. You'd sit down with other drafters, and you'd speak with your boss at some point. You'd say, okay, here are the issues with this bill, and then it would work its way up maybe to an associate deputy minister table, and then the thing would go to the National Assembly. That didn't happen here. They're in the middle of the process. They're in parliamentary committee. Some obscure Liberal backbencher waltzes in and delivers these incredibly complex amendments that everybody's just supposed to, oh, yeah, sure, let's do that now. And everybody's going to understand what's in the bill. Nobody understands what's in the bill anymore. Heidi Rathjen's right. There is a specific reference in there now to 10,000 joules. That's a very large amount of energy. But there are people who are really serious, who are not doing this to muck things up, who are saying, hold on. You know, my collector's, Teddy Roosevelt era blunderbuss, that's going to somehow get seized and it's worth several hundred thousand dollars. And you're telling me that I can't use this stuff anymore? This, you know, this is not what we're supposed to be going after. The very notion of saying that you're targeting, sorry for the word, but it sort of goes with it. You're targeting assault style rifles. So as much as 10,000 joules is something very objective, you can measure it. The rest of it is a question of appreciation. So there is something objective about a maximum 5 shells, you know, in the magazine. Fine, fair enough. And then the same, but if it could be removed and replaced by a magazine that can hold more, and then you just fall into this area of absolute vagueness. And you know what? Courts regularly throw out legislation when it is too vague. They say it's void for vagueness. Right. And I think that that's where the Liberals have wound up with this thing. I think they're going to have to start the whole thing over again.
Oh, wow.
Yes, there's been exaggeration by the gun lobby. Probably Carey Price was wrong about the gun he was carrying, but we couldn't really tell which gun it was. Even the experts couldn't tell because his hands were covering a certain mechanism that didn't allow you to know. But let's assume that, first of all, because, and I appreciated that both of you mentioned he's got his Indigenous background, which completely changes the story for him as well. But assume that he's in good faith and he just believes that that could be in danger. That's enough, you know, for most Canadians to say, hold on, this thing is incomplete. It's badly drafted. It's been really a bad show in front of the parliamentary committee. And yes, it's terrible that it's coming on the eve of the commemoration of the horrible massacre at Polytechnic, where those young women were killed just because they were women. But at the same time, a lot of observers are coming down hard on the Liberals saying, you're doing this again. You're putting the squeeze on here, saying anybody who doesn't agree with these new vague amendments is somehow opposed to, you know, having better gun control in Canada. And that gets, you know, the same thing that you did with the Aaron O'Toole, for example, on vaccines at the beginning of the campaign. You're doing the same thing now on guns, and you're the ones who are using this as an instrument to beat up your political adversaries, and shame on you. And you know what? They're right.
You know, as you said that, I think both Natasha and I nodded when you said, I think they're going to have to start all over again.
Oh, for sure.
When's the last time that happened?
It has happened. Sometimes when something is just such a complete and utter mess, then you have to pick the thing up, walk away with it, redraft it, and come back with something that's usable. Because people who sell guns aren't going to know where they stand on this thing. People who have guns at home, and by the way, goes right into the Daniel Smith thing in Alberta. So, you know, this is our way of life. We don't. And there are honest people who own guns, many from a different era, that do they get caught or not caught by this? And there are hundreds of thousands of these guns in Canada. And it's not that hard to come to a conclusion that you can register them. Quebec has kept the gun registry. The other provinces don't have one. But, you know, there are so many things that are already in place to control guns. We have much more gun control in Canada than anybody's ever dreamt of in the United States, even with the stuff that's not covered right now.
How hard would it have been to get this right? Like, I just feel like they've gotten it so, never mind. I mean, Carey Price, okay, whether he got it wrong or right, obviously the timing is terrible. But the bill itself, how hard would it have been to do this properly, Tom?
Not hard at all.
Right.
And, you know, they keep harking back. I was listening to Heidi before on the show. I was listening to you guys, too, and saying, you know, oh, well, you know, the experts were there giving these answers to the gun lobby and such. Yeah, but those experts should have been around the table drafting this thing right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute you try to change it as it's going forward, everybody gets to say, aha, and they start to question your motives and what you're really doing, you know, and it leads nowhere. And I'm a strong proponent of a gun registry. You know, I want to make sure every police officer who works in a rural region, if they're going up to a house where there's, you know, been an indication that there's been a domestic dispute, I want them to know if there are guns behind the door of that house. I think that's part of it, too, of protecting everybody in society, including law enforcement. But when you get something like this, you just have to slap your forehead with the palm of your hand and say, how did they mess it up this badly, where instead of keeping everybody on side, it's divided for a whole bunch of different reasons.
Okay, let's move on and talk about the big thing in Montreal, which gets underway on Wednesday. That is COP15, yeah. Sustainable biodiversity. Yeah. I'm not sure if they're going to be more attendees or protesters, Tom.
Well, it's certainly sustainable attendees. They'll be there, and they'll be bringing, you know, 20,000 people with big expense accounts. That's a good shot in the arm for the city, by the way. You mm-hmm. know, we always talk about the Grand Prix and the like.
Yeah.
These things, a lot of people come in, and they got a lot of money to spend. So that's actually kind of good. Don't try to find a hotel room, by the way, if you were planning to do some Christmas shopping in Montreal and you live out of town. But all kidding aside, this is an incredibly important conference. Montreal, by the way, people don't realize it. Montreal is the headquarters of the United Nations agency that's in charge of biodiversity. This thing was, as mentioned at the beginning of News Quiz, this was supposed to be held in China. Now it's being co-hosted by China and Canada for obvious COVID-19 reasons over there. I think it's a big event, at least as important as the events that take place around climate change. Why? Because they're happening at the same time, but nobody's paying enough attention to biodiversity. In other words, saving wildlife on the planet, saving animals, plants, species, making sure that the diversity that makes life on this planet is preserved. And I think that it's incredibly important. And I'm very proud that Montreal is doing this.
By the way, it's not a Montreal issue, obviously. Wherever this would be happening, we'd see the same sort of reaction. And I wonder at the end of the day, look, it'd be hard to argue that this is not important. Obviously, it is. Sustainable biodiversity is a big, big topic. You've been around long enough. Do actually results come from conferences mm-hmm. like these?
This one, yes. This is very important. This is... Everyone's making the comparison to the Paris conference in 2015, where the world came together after dilly-dallying for 25 years on Kyoto. The world came together and said, okay, we're really messing this up. We've got to start getting serious. Now, was Paris enough? Clearly not. Canada has the worst record of the G7. But on biodiversity, it puts pressure on countries like Canada, like the United States, even though they've only got observer status because they're always leery of anything United Nations. But when you have goals that are set, that are measurable, like you want this proportion of your territory set aside, you know, for the purpose of letting wildlife flourish, and there are some beautiful places in Quebec that can be set aside, especially in the south. We've got lots of stuff in the north that they want to set aside, but it's very similar. You know, there's not that much diversity up there. But with a little bit of effort, we could set things aside for future generations. Something, by the way, the Americans were the first at in the world. They had their national park system and all that before anybody else. But now the world's coming on site and saying, we actually need these large protected areas as well to protect the animals and the diversity and, of course, the plant species. So I think Canada's going to be able to do it. And I think that unlike climate change, where we're always in a conundrum because of the fact that we're a large petroleum producer, here at least we can start doing something right.
And will this do a lot of good for relations between Canada and China as well?
That's a great question, Natasha, and I think it can only help because despite the fact that we've had a very rough couple of months in our relationship with China,
mm-hmm.
it's an incredibly important country, and we can't afford not to have a good relationship with them. And not because of any threat or anything like that. It's just because they are that important. And we've got to start figuring out a way to get along better with them. The problem with all of these dictatorships, you know, the Russians and the Chinese, and everything, they are on the ascendancy right now. A lot of countries that they're working with and giving money to are saying, yeah, why worry about this election stuff? And you've even got Donald Trump saying, get rid of the American Constitution. Who needs that? And, you know, Trump should always be recalled. Trump said, why should he have to be elected for only two mandates? He should do like, you know, other strong men in the
yeah.
world.
I mean,
like
this is the world that we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the fight for democracy includes being able to talk to countries like China.
Tom Uckair, back tomorrow morning on Andrew Carter Show at 7:40. Tom, thank you.
Take good care.